A strong tower. Well, last week, I talked about the fact that we as mankind try to reach down or reach up, and then God reaches down. And I opened with the story of the Tower of Babel and man's attempt to build to reach God, to be with God. And this week, as I looked at the song set in the very first song, talking about the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And I thought how fitting it would be for today for us to juxtapose. How about we put parallel next to, I'm Porky Pig, I'm going to use up some other word. Lay next to and compare the tower of Christ versus the Tower of Babel. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it in a safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs into it and is safe. Well, it's such a simple statement. And we just sang a song earlier that his name is a strong tower. When I was younger, I remember a night in my family that was probably one of the most dramatic and harrowing of my childhood, in which, this is pre-cell phone days, just preface this, right? This is pre-cell phone, this is mid-80s, early 80s, and if any of you who know my mom, she loves to bargain shop, and she took a group of ladies over to the New Albany, Louisville area, because at the time there was an outlet mall there. And they went over, and they had some car trouble. And they called home. They were able to get to a station and called home. Got my dad, and my dad took off. Now, at that time, my dad drove a 1963 English Ford, which, if any of you know what that is a little tiny car that it almost looks like you should have had like a little wind-up thing in the back, and then it was not the most reliable of cars. Well, needless to say, at some point between here and Louisville, out on Highway 64, the little wind-up mechanism broke down, and he broke down, and it started to storm. I won't go into all the details, but it involves state police, a search for my dad. My mom and them finally got the car situation and got back home. Of course, no cell phone, so we're at home. We don't know what's going on. They found my dad. He had gone walking. You know how, if those of us who live in southern Indiana, you drive out 64, there's those nice long patches. You drive through like the state park, the state forest there, and it's just nothing. That just happened to be where he broke down. But he found a farmer's house. No one was home, but there was a barn. And he had gotten into the barn to get out of the rain. Eventually, the farmer came home. He was able to knock on the door, use the phone. They coordinated. Finally, state police picked him up, and it was all okay in the end of the night. And my dad was not a person to give into fear much. He was a pretty big guy. I've never known him to be too afraid of too much in life. But when I saw him come home that night, and he retold his story, he was happy to find that barn. How much of our own lives do we live that way? We just think we're just going to do something, right? Oh, Faye probably just ran out of gas. I'll go and get her. Yeah, okay. And then along the way, you're trying to do something. Then something happens to you. And then you find yourself in a situation where there's looking around, you don't see help, and you're desperate. And then even gets worse, and things start coming against you. You know, it's raining and lightning, and it's storming in your life. We need a tower. I want to break this down just into its phrases. The very first thing is this: the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. See, this whole process here is that the idea is that there's something special about the name of the Lord in which I can go to. It is the thing in which I could surround myself with. And I've preached on this before, some of the Old Testament the names of Yahweh and Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai, the names of Jesus, that he is the Comforter, he is the Anointed One. He is this special one who's coming. He is God with us, Emmanuel. In the name of the Lord. I think the writers here have put that in there because they're asking us to look at what it is that really saves us. Now, when you look up this word, it's an interesting thing. When you look up the word name in Hebrew, it means your reputation, your identity. That's why we read throughout the Old Testament, we see so many people, they name their kids or situations or places certain names because it gave a reputation about them. And God's name gives a little glimpse about his reputation, what his identity is. The very word for Lord in this sentence, the name of the Lord, is what we all mostly know as the word Yahweh. Yahweh, the great I am, the living God. Moses stands before God in the burning bush, and he says, "Who should I say sends me?" And out from the bush says, "I am sent you. Tell them that the I am, the living God, sends you." So what is the name of the I am? He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our Jehovah Jireh provider. He is Adonai, the great one, master. And he is Abba, daddy. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Why do we pray? We pray in his name, don't we? When God, through his son Jesus, taught the disciples to pray, the very first thing, what do they do? What does he teach us? The very beginning of the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer. He calls on him, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Let us be clear who we are talking to, who we are praying to, who we are calling upon. Well, even in today, we talk about in our societies, there's a lot of people who claim to love God, or, "Yes, I know that God, me and God are good." Which one? Are we talking about the God? The Yahweh I am? Or the God of success, of pleasure, of convenience? Which God? We read right here in Proverbs, it is the name of the Lord, the name of Yahweh. That is the next part, a strong tower. Remember the story of the three little pigs? The three little pigs, they decided to build some houses. One of them built them out of straw, another one out of sticks, another one out of bricks. And then along came someone opposed to them building houses. And he huffed and he puffed. And he did what? He blew them down. First one, gone. You just, and if you're like me and you had a really imaginative teacher, she would make little squealing noises because the pig had to run to the next house, you know. Oh, it's okay. I'm in the straw house. I'm in the stick house. And they finally get to the brick house and he can't blow it down. We look at that and it's an interesting little story. It's great for kids. What does that have to do with this passage? When you call upon the name of some other God, your God of your success, the God of your position, the God of your wealth, the God of your physical fitness, the God of whatever it may be that's outside of the name of Yahweh, the I Am, you are building straw and stick towers. Anytime that we put our faith in something, in our own selves, in our own logic, in our own thoughts, and not on His, we build upon things that are unstable. And when the storms of life huff and puff and come along, they're gone. It is a strong tower. Now, towers are an amazing thing. We are drawn to them. I could probably ask you, give you a couple of clues, and you can name a couple of towers right now. You're thinking of some of them already. There's one made out of steel that happens to reside in Paris. Anybody remember the name of that one? The Eiffel Tower. Millions of people every year travel. It's the destination to go and stand in front of this structure and take a picture. It's a tower. But when you see pictures of Paris, what do you see? The tower. It gives identity to who they are. It gives them the face of their city. You know, immediately in a montage of cities in a movie, they show the tower. How about in Italy? There's a very famous tower for a very funny reason. And it's not P-I-Z-A. It's not pizza, right? It's S-A. I figured out this week when I was trying to Google it up. Yes, it's the what? Leaning Tower of Pisa. Although Leaning Tower of Pizza, there's lots of restaurants around the United States, after I found that out, that do exist. Again, people go to it by the droves. Got to get our picture, right? Especially the ones where you're standing just at the right angle so it looks like you're holding it up. You've seen them on Instagram and online. Towers. There are thousands upon thousands of towers around the world that were built throughout the history of mankind. Not all of them last. Not all of them have significance. There's another tower. It's called the Tower of David or the Citadel of David. It's in Jerusalem. And it sits on the holy city. It's the tower where men would look out over the temple and look out over the city of Israel. It's the place where most likely men who crucified Jesus may have hidden there as they were waiting to hear the news. This was a place where this nation of Israel looked to as a sense of strength. And parts of it are still there, but much of it is destroyed. This tower once had 300 golden shields on it. This tower once had the names of mighty men who warriored for the sake of God on it. This tower was a place of refuge. But the Romans sacked it. They destroyed it. They took away its significance. Towers do a couple of things. They're either usually in the corners of a city as forms of protection. They're at the town gate as a place of observation to see who's coming and going, and to create usually a situation where they can drop a gate or draw a drawbridge and they can stop the flow in and out of the city. It's a place of protection. Or often they would make a city and they would put a tower in the middle as a last resort. This is where we will all rally at should they break the walls. The towers could be a form of communication. We see this throughout history of bell towers, clock towers. We put things up high on towers to communicate. Just drive down the highway. We call them billboards, but what are the billboards on? So towers. Jesus is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does it mean that we now have a tower? Well, it helps to communicate. It helps to protect. It is a place where we may get a better perspective and have a bigger vision of the place, of the world around us. It is a place which we should withdraw into. Now, Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, he says, a foolish man will not count the cost before he starts building a tower. And then when it doesn't get built, people will go, psh, you ran out of money, didn't you? Well, that was really silly. But the good news is that Jesus built the tower. He already counted the cost, and he paid the cost on the cross. And the tower's built, and the tower's secure, and the tower is still here for you and I today. Because then, the next part of this, a righteous man can run into it. Because if he goes to the cross, and as we celebrate it in remembrance today with the communion of his broken body and his shed blood, he made us righteous. Hebrews chapter 10, Jesus is described as being our high priest. That while there was a priestly law, and before Christ came, day after day without ceasing, the priest had to keep giving sacrifice. Why? Because the people kept sinning. No amount of blood of any bull or goat or any animal could ever totally wipe away the sin until the sacrifice came. The Lamb was taken to the cross, and he was the final sacrifice. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10 that after he finished it, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and it is done. And those of us who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved and are made righteous. Which gives us the ability and to be granted entrance into the tower. Notice what it says, that the righteous man runs into it. Runs into it. I don't know if you've ever been in a tornado. Around Indiana, that's a good chance that you've either been one or seen one or know somebody. I've been around them. I think I've never had to go through exactly a tornado, but you know that wind right before, it's enough to scare you. And I will tell you right now, whenever we were trying to get to our safe spot, there was no little jaunting down the road. There was no stroll. What do? We run, don't we? There's a car commercial that came out about a year or so ago where there's this asteroid that's coming down and getting ready to hit Earth, and you know, it's on the news, and they're like, grab whatever you can and throw it in the back of the car. Have you ever seen this one? And then they throw a bunch of stuff in there, like, well, we still got more room. So they go back, and they start emptying the house, and like, they keep, It's to demonstrate how much you can put in the back of the car. I get the point of the commercial. But I was thinking to myself the very first time I saw that, I was like, they ain't putting nothing in that car. They got to run. Because they cracked me up because they're grabbing their big screen TV. If the world is apocalyptically ending, the big screen is not going to help you. You might want to pack some groceries. That's the one thing I don't see them packing. They got a beach ball in there. They got a surfboard. They got a TV. I don't know what kind of... They obviously have not watched The Living Dead. I mean, when it's apocalyptic times, you have got to be ready. Unless they're using that big screen as a shield. We run into it, though, right? That's just, it's funny, and you get the point, oh, the car has a lot of space. But in reality, when I see people evacuating in the way that we have seen in the last few months and even the last few years, when hurricanes come, when fires sweep across the west coast of the United States, these people are not packing their beach balls and their big screen TVs. They're getting their undies and their toothbrush, and they're heading out of town. We are in the desired space to go and run into. We have the ability to run into this tower, which is safe. But yet we, for some reason, don't do it. You ever noticed on those TV shows, on the news, they always find one person. I mean, just the storm is coming, fire just breathing down their neck. I will never forget, it was last summer, and one of those guys were out. He had sandbagged around his house and had his garden hose out, soaking the sandbags, trying to stop this forest fire. And then finally, they just, by like law, just took him out. Like, you've got to go. It's like, when you know that firefighters who are trained and professional and have these helicopters and planes that drop like millions of gallons of fire retardant chemicals and water on the fire and it won't put it out, and you're out there with your garden hose. In our own lives, do we not do that? I picture sometimes, if I could picture this in my mind, that Jesus, the tower, the door is open, and he's like, come on in. You ever heard that phrase, just too stupid to come in from the rain? Boy, sometimes I feel that way. It's just ridiculous. The righteous man, though, should run into it. They should go to the safety. Because when he runs in, that's the last thing in this verse, he will be safe. He's going to be safe. You know what that means? You can look up the original Hebrew, and the Hebrew means this: safe, protected, secure. Your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus is describing himself as the great shepherd, but I want to focus in on just a handful of verses. John chapter 10, verse 27. Just prior to this, he's talking about the sheep and how that he could call the sheep into the pen for safety. And I want to parallel that analogy to the idea of the tower. That when he is the tower, he has called us into the tower. This is what he says: my sheep listen to my voice. This is 10:27. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. None of them will be snatched out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and the Father am one. You get into the tower, you're safe. Now, throughout time, we know of towers that have fell. We can take to many places of medieval castles across Europe, and you'll see walls that were destroyed and towers that were leveled. But Jesus says, when you're with me, when I have you in my hand, no one can take you from me. No one. And if you don't think I can do it, my Father, the God creator of the universe, you know no one's going to take it from Daddy's hand. And by the way, he and I are one. Come into me and be safe. I don't know what towers you've been building, but leave them. I don't know what your own personal self-righteousness that you have been trying to establish to create as a barrier and protect you from the onslaught of Satan and of the world and the things that are coming at you, the storms of life, but leave it. I don't know what tower you may be building because you want to be secure and be safe, and you think if I have enough zeros behind my account, I'll be okay. Leave it. We have seen in the news, locally, across the United States, individual Christians and churches are under attack. Storms are coming. The Christian faith is under attack. The storm is coming. This isn't anything new. It's always been that way. Satan has one purpose: to come and kill and destroy. I mentioned it last week, Cain and Abel. God went to Cain and said, if you just do what's right, if you just listen to me, let me guide you, you'll be okay. But if you don't, you do what you want to do, Satan, sin is on the outside waiting to get you. And he'll bring you down. And what's Cain do? Exactly what he wanted to do. You know, Abraham was given a promise. But he couldn't wait for it. And he tried to press it. And he tried to make the point. And it seemed to just make more mess. We all do that, don't we? I confess that I do. I haven't quite prayed for patience yet because I'm afraid what it takes to get there. Sometimes patience is exactly what we need. Because you know what you get when you get inside the tower? You get to stay and sit and be patient. I think that's why a lot of us don't go in the tower. Jesus is like, here's the tower. Here is a place of peace and rest, and you can be restored. But so many of us, myself included, we are out trying to be the hero. It's always so much more dramatic in the movies. Well, I love the Lord of the Rings movies. In the second movie, The Two Towers, there's actually a whole section of the movie that describes this very thing, that there are a group of people in the tower who are trying to be safe, and then there's the heroes, and where are they? On the outside. And we, I think, as Christians, myself especially, I love to be out and be the hero. And God's like, get in here. Because in God's story, there's only one hero, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he's already fought the fight, and he's already won the battle, and it's done. The tower's complete. Get your booty in here. And some of us, myself included, we're just a little thick-headed. And maybe it takes until I'm just bloodied and bludgeoned, and finally he's just going to drag me in, and then there. Are you resting now? Then I'm just, in my life, I'm just broken in that. And I just think, what was I doing? Have you ever been there? Has God finally drug you to a place of rest? Maybe it was through an illness. Maybe it was through just some forced time off. Of just a pause in your life and just said, get in here. Sit down for a second. And then you're like, I should have probably done that like a week ago or a month ago, a year ago. See, the thing about the righteous man who runs into the tower is a righteous man should have the stinking smarts about him to go into the tower. But some of us, like myself, we just don't. This is a principle that God has been teaching all of mankind for all of the history of mankind. He went and he made a decision. He's going to wipe out sin. He said, I'm just going to wipe out and start all over again. But he does what? He makes a boat. He tells Noah, you and your family, you make a boat, and your boat is the tower. You get in the tower, and you get in my safety. You call upon my name, and the name of the Lord is in the form of this ark, and you get in there, and I'm going to save you. In the same way, he did the same thing with Moses, and he says, I'm going to save you guys. Everybody, get behind Moses. We're going to go out into the desert.
I don't have the carrots and the cabbage, and all I have is manna and quail.
God Almighty is among you in the form of smoke and fire and speaks to you on a daily basis. You don't have to lift a finger to be fed. You're in the tower. You're in my safety. You're in my presence.
Well, if I'd known the tower was going to be like this, I would have stayed in Egypt.
The disciples, they're walking with Jesus for 3 years. He's describing to them all that must happen, all that they must do. And finally, he gets to do the thing he came to do, which is go to the cross. And what do? They run. That tower was scary to stand at the cross, to identify, to say, I identify, I claim the name of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. I identify with him, and I'm standing here in his tower right now. I don't know that I have the courage. I might have the courage knowing now but at that moment, in real place, in real time, what's he do? He sends the Holy Spirit and he brings them together. And he says, if you don't come to the tower, I'm going to put the tower in you. I will give you peace and it'll go with you always. You don't know what to say? I will give you the words to say and understanding of Scripture. It'll go with you always. If you are in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the tower. And if you're like me, sometimes I need something tangible. Boy, it'd be nice if there was a place, right, that we could go to, the Tower of God, and we could all go to, right? It's right here in the form of this book. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our strong tower. We need to get into here. I'm preaching to me. That's usually my best sermons, when I preach to myself. We need to find a way. I need to find a way to go into the tower and rest. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but let me tell you this. If you're on the outside of the tower and life has been just crazy, and you'd like to get into the tower, and it's only for those who are righteous. And the only way that we are righteous, the Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have been unrighteous and are unrighteous, apart from the righteousness of Christ, which he shares with us because he died on the cross. And we have received that righteousness, not because of anything we do, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's by grace. It's by faith. It's not by our works. There's nothing we can do. All we can do, Romans chapter 10, is to believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that he is Lord. That he alone is the way, the truth, and the light. No other possible way to get to heaven except Jesus Christ. Believe that and you will be saved. You are counted righteous and you may enter into this tower of his safety. For those of us who made that claim a long time ago, what are we doing outside? What, What are we doing outside the peace and salvation of Jesus? Trying to be heroes? Trying to make a name for ourselves? The only thing we should be fighting for is making a name for Jesus in the name of God. And in that, the best way we can do that is to get out of the way and let him do what he needs to do. Come out of the rain, come out of the storm, and into safety. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have grace and mercy, even for a fool like me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we do not have to create our own righteousness, but you give it to us freely because of your Son, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And because of that righteousness, we may enter into your presence where there is safety and there is peace, peace that surpasses understanding. A place where we may be rejuvenated and refreshed. Heavenly Father, it is our human nature to do, to be active. But sometimes, God, you ask us to just be still, to be in your tower and rest and have peace and be in your presence. Let you do what you need to do. Then when you're ready, you send us back out. And we do so in your power and not our own. It's in your name we pray. Amen.